voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham. Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you, RJ?
Man, I really appreciate you making time for us and joining us.
You bet. Now, is this the same Matt Jones who played a little quarterback?
I used to. Yes, sir.
All right. So that was interesting to me. Weren't you drafted in the first round?
And I was not the best. That's the truth right there.
I'm getting right to your list of questions. But that's interesting to me, Matt, that I would hear you talking about somebody getting reached for.
And I wasn't being negative about it. I said that they could have got him in the second round.
Now, hold on just a second. Is there something that is complimentary about saying that they reached for a guy?
Is there something complimentary about it?
Yeah, you said
you weren't being negative. It shows that he was able to interview good. He was able to work out good. That was the guy that was highest on their board. So, yeah, it showed that he could do that well.
Well, I would say then that that's why I asked, because definition of terms, in my experience, is very important. In my experience, when someone says they reached for a guy, that means they overpaid. He wasn't that good. They shouldn't have taken him there. And my feeling about draft choices is really what I heard Bill Parcells say best. I don't know if he said it first, but he certainly said it best. It's a big deal where a guy was drafted until he walks in the facility. And as you know better than most people, Matt, when you walk in the door, it really doesn't matter when you step out onto the practice field if, in fact, you are playing for an organization that wants to put the best players on the field. Then it doesn't matter where you were drafted. Or if you were drafted, it matters if you can play. And the drafts are full year to year to year to year to year of guys who the experts, people like me, said, oh, well, they shouldn't have taken him there.
And then and that's why I was asking who is so far,
right,
what draft pick has been the best so far.
It might be Frederick, but I think they've got a good draft class. And when people said, I did a Wisconsin game a couple years ago. I kind of remembered watching some tape of him, and I was impressed. I thought he was a good player. I hadn't, studied it like you do when you're fixing to draft somebody. But when people said at the time, all these people in our business, and some, by the way, who do scout, some who do watch tape and know what they're looking at, and whose opinion should be listened to. Mayock on the NFL Network is a guy I've worked with. I know, really respect him, and he said he thought that was a little bit of a stretch. So my response at the time, and I promise I'll get to your question, my response at the time when people were saying that was, just in terms of Dallas history, okay, was Darren Woodson worth a first-round draft choice? Because he wasn't one. You know, was Mark Stepnoski worth a first-round draft choice? Because he wasn't one.
Yeah.
On and on and on, and the Cowboys aren't the only team that's like
well,
that.
Well, and I get you, and that's what I'm saying. I was drafted ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Now, if we would go back and do that over again, I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have happened.
But there's a chance that might not have happened.
Oh, 100%. So.
And I really thought you were going to be playing here, by the way, at one position or another. I thought at one point there was a bunch of us pulling for it, really hoping that would work out. But Frederick has been everything they wanted him to be and more. He's ahead of the curve. He's going to make a big difference in their team. And all of the things that you're reading and hearing about bringing in other veteran guards or moving guys around or looking at different combinations in practice, all of that is not so much because they don't think they've got anybody else who can play, but rather because they don't want to succumb to the temptation of moving Frederick to guard for a year until they can go get somebody else. You want to put your five best on the field. There was a time, I think, early in camp when some people thought that might include both Frederick and Phil Costa. Phil's arms are just a little short for playing guard in the NFL. And that being the case, now I submit that you could move Travis Frederick to guard for a year if that was what was going to be your best five, and it would not stop him from becoming the next Mick Tinglehoff. He would make an adjustment. Larry Allen played about three positions his rookie year. Flozell Adams was a guard his first year. Happens all the time.
What was Bruce Matthews?
Seems to me Bruce Matthews played some guard before played guard and tackle both.
That's what I thought, yeah. I mean, if you're good, and that's the deal, on the offensive line, you can be interchangeable.
Absolutely right, and I think that if Travis Frederick had to play some guard, then he would play guard. Now, people who haven't played or haven't played in a long time saw him play, you know, half a dozen snaps in the Hall of Fame game and said, well, he didn't look as good as he did at center. Well, okay, he's been playing center all spring and summer. That doesn't mean he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But they love him. And having said that, they like, I think, the whole draft class. Now, some of them are ahead of others. They really like the kid from Baylor, Terrence Williams, the receiver.
Yeah.
And he missed the first two games with a concussion. But when they go to three wide, he's on the outside right now. So if they start in three wides, he's a starter. They love him.
Able to pick up the offense and that's another thing I got. Is Dez and Romo, their relationship, has he picked up the offense? Has he gotten better? But that's the hard part for players coming in, is picking up that offense and being in the right spot that Tony wants you to be in.
And it won't be, as you know from having played both ends of that, it won't be as good at any time in the preseason as it will in the regular season, and it won't be as good in September as it will in November, and it won't be as good at any time this year as it will be next year. And having said that, the short answer to your question, I think, is well enough. He's picked it up well enough. They had a bust on a route in Arizona the other day, and that's, you know, Romo talked about that as he was actually glad it happened because it was a learning experience, something that came up for Terrence. Very serious young man, really wants to be good. And he will be.
And that's good. And if you're the third receiver, it is important that you know what you're doing, but it's not as important because you're not going to have as much on your plate.
Right.
So you're going to be able to pick up, you know, the 30% that you're going to have to do. Now, if you're coming in and you have – that's why I think it was tough on Dez.
Yeah.
They wanted him to kind of be the guy because his potential is to be a top five receiver in the NFL.
I think he's getting pretty close to that. Dez, as you guys may know, Dez had a pretty tough – growing up, and he didn't grow up in a lot of ways, but he's making more progress off the field.
That's good.
Most guys that I've seen in a long time, and that's going to make him nothing but a beast on the field. And I'm really impressed with how hard he's worked to be in that position to be that good. But the rest of the draft class, Escobar. Some people thought they reached for Escobar. Maybe they did.
He showed big the other night, didn't he?
He showed up is what he did,
yeah.
And they're going to play four tight ends. They liked Escobar chiefly for what he would give them in the red zone. Now, the other thing we all know, but we forget as fans when we watch these games, is they're not doing anything in any of these exhibition games. That's what they're going to be doing in the regular season. They're not going to show you any formations, any
plays. You're working on technique.
Yeah, they're just running plays and working on technique is exactly right. So, I think Hannah is a guy who is going to have a really significant contribution. The fourth tight end, whoever he is, right now I would say Dante Rosario, who's a veteran and has played some H-back and fullback, and none of their four tight ends, well, Witten's has become an exceptional blocker. So the other three are adequate. Escobar is... I hate to say he's a Witten starter kit because that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But when Witten came in the league, Parcells used to tease him about being a receiving tight end. And I think that's kind of where Escobar is. But let's see as time goes on how they use him, particularly in the red zone. And he's getting more and more confidence. The linebacker from South Carolina keeps showing up. I keep saying his name. So that's a pretty significant thing, Holloman.
What about Joseph Randall?
Randall couldn't do any football stuff, Matt, during the whole
OTAs and stuff.
Yeah, because of his wrist.
I gotcha.
And he is now doing some of that, and he also is a very serious young man. That's who they're looking for. They're looking for serious guys. I think Randall, I think I may be underestimating Lance Dunbar, who I think is a tremendous complementary weapon.
He looked good so far this preseason, that's for sure.
Yeah, But you don't want to, if something happens to Murray, I don't think that, I could be wrong, but, you know, you'd say the same thing of Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to put him in the backfield and leave him there and have him carry it 18 times a game. You want to use him the right way, and then he can break a game open, and that's what I think of Dunbar.
Is that what they did to Felix Jones then? Because I look at – I know he's not there, but I agree with you. Felix Jones was not that guy, that even at Arkansas.
Yeah.
He's a scat back that you really – you want him to have 12, 15 touches, but they can't be eight in a row.
And Felix, to his credit, improved his – when Felix started – if he was in on third down, it was going to be a train wreck. He could no more pick up a blitzing linebacker.
Right.
He could recognize him. He couldn't block him.
Right.
That was not the case by the time that Felix left here. I don't know what he'll do in Philadelphia, but he's a better all-around back than when he came into the league. But I don't think, from talking to Felix through the years, you know, he battled to be a backup to split time at receiver in high school. He wound up being content with that. He was certainly happy to be the second guy behind McFadden, and there in Arkansas. And so I think that, you know, when he came in and he was behind Barber, who had been behind Julius Jones, and that was okay with Felix. And I think that there's a difference between Felix and Dunbar. If you could put Dunbar's mentality into Felix, you might have had a different player. Dunbar is like a small dog who thinks he's a Great Dane, and he plays big, but he isn't big. And so he's very willing. He's got a huge heart. He's a smart young man, but I think that he's going to last longer if he is used in the right way. Because of that, I think you have to identify as a coaching staff, even if you never say it out loud to anybody else, if something happens to Murray, who's your back? I think that's going to be Randall. And I think he's making that progress. He's still not quite there yet. He's developing, but he's going to make the team. They love what he's doing, and I think he's going to grow into that role. And
now, Callahan's the offensive coordinator, right?
Yep.
And so has there been a big change as far as philosophy, or how are they gelling? You know, who is the quarterback coach, and who's calling the plays as far as are they gelling good? Because sometimes, you saw in Pittsburgh, Todd Haley and Big Ben kind of – I mean, they just weren't on the same page.
Well,
you don't know them.
They were not, but that part – I know Todd, and I like him a great deal, but Todd's a very volatile guy.
Right.
And he was going into a situation with a veteran quarterback, and Callahan was in the system. Callahan and Haley are not the same guy.
Oh,
so
no,
the
I know.
To your questions, yes.
Good.
I believe that it's working well. You know, it's Garrett's system. They all work together, including Romo, to put in the game plan. I hope there's a renewed emphasis on the running game. I think they have to run it. They absolutely have to run it better than they have, and I think they have to run it more. And I think if they run it more, they'll run it for sure a little better. Some of that's the offensive line. Some of it's the philosophy. Some of it's the backs. So we'll see if, you know, if Murray's healthy, that makes a big difference. But I think that the Callahan part is working out well.
Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, joining us on the Arkansas Mailing Service Hotline. Now, it seems to me that Jason Garrett has been more engaged in the ball game now that he doesn't have to call the plays. Do you see that? Because it really seems like he's able to interact with the officials and figure out what he needs to do on the field rather than having to call that next play.
Well, yeah, I think he was the head coach anyway, and there are a lot of head coaches in the league who do call the plays, and there are a lot who don't. Me personally, I'm a big Jason Garrett fan, and I think that he is a more effective head coach not calling the plays, partly for some of the reasons you just said. And I do think that there has been some evidence of that in training camp. I think you especially saw it watching every day for a month out there in Oxnard. And then I think that you can see it a little bit in the preseason games, although, again, you know, they're just running plays.
Yeah.
But the whole demeanor, his demeanor, is one of somebody very much in charge. I believe he's got the respect of that locker room. Players on both sides of the ball like him, want to play for him, know that he has their back. The whole Josh Brent, Jerry Brown tragedy last year showed them who he is in a crisis and how he will take care of them when they need taken care of. He's also very tough. People don't know that about him. He is really got an edge to him, which his players see.
Yeah, and my favorite move the Cowboys made was getting rid of Rob Ryan. And, yes. And I really think that that's key, because it's so tough to – if you're going to blitz a lot and you're going to do some things, but it's so tough to play one-on-one a lot of times.
Yeah.
And with the secondary there, that has been a weakness. Is that going to be a strength? And I know you got your stud and Sean Lee with the contract. He's kind of the leader. But that back four – I think if you're playing a little more zone and make them make mistakes, you have a better chance to win the game.
Well, that's the whole, as you well know, Matt, that's the whole philosophy of what Monty Kiffin and Rod Marinelli do. And I think Rob Ryan is a really good football coach, and I have enormous respect for what he was able to do, he and his staff, last year, when they literally had more than half of their defensive team out for the year, and they were bringing every week, they were bringing guys in off the street, off the couch, out of the, you know, LA Fitness and Gold's Gym, and they were playing them in an NFL game, and they were competitive and playing for the playoffs at the end of the year. I think that was amazing. And I tried to get a handle early in Rob's first year on what his core was. And so I talked to some guys who came with him. You know, I said, what is, when you get back to, when this defense is getting back to basics, what is it getting back to? What's the core philosophy of a Rob Ryan defense? And the answer I was given was disguise and pressure. Now, everybody wants to disguise and trick the quarterback into thinking something's one thing and it's something else, and certainly everybody wants to pressure. But I think if disguise is your core personality, then you don't know what you're disguising from. And what I think is that with the personnel they have, they're going to let their linebackers fly around. Now, they got to get guys on the field, like Mo Claiborne's out, but if they get him back with Carr, I mean, not if they get him back, when they get him back. He's got some tendonitis in there. Certainly expecting to be playing against the Giants. So in answer to your question about the back four, that was one of the areas that was hit by injury last year. But if they have their people, Claiborne and Carr are big physical corners. Skandrick is an experienced nickel guy. Sterling Moore is a guy who has made some plays in the NFL, certainly made one for New England in a championship game, and he is a better nickel guy than a lot of other people they have, and then I think Will Allen's a great addition next to Barry Church. Church is going to be good. He's a good
if Will Allen can. My experience also with older D-backs, it's tough to stay healthy for the whole year.
Well,
so
it may be, but in the meantime,
he's a good guy to learn from for the younger guy.
He's played for Kiffin and Marinelli, and he knows what they're doing.
Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, joining us on The Buzz today. You can hear Brad every Dallas Cowboy football game right here, as we are now the official Dallas Cowboy home. And, Brad, boy, I tell you, you've given us more information in 20 minutes than we could ever ask for. We appreciate your time. Real quick, I want to ask you, but we've got a couple minutes. How do you think Sean Lee stacks up to some greats of the Cowboys like Dexter Coatley, Ken Norton Jr., Leroy Jordan, and Chuck Halley?
Well, he's playing a little different position than Chuck played. I do think that he has a chance. The one thing he hadn't done is stay completely healthy. If he does that, I think he's going to be their best middle linebacker since Leroy Jordan. And that's with a nod to Ken Norton, who I thought was a tremendous player. Norton was so tough. He was a real important piece of the team that won the first two Super Bowls here. But Lee is an unusual player. He's dynamic, and he's all over the place. His intensity is ridiculous, off the charts. And he's worth the money. He and DeMarcus Ware give them two really good leaders on the defensive side of the ball on the field. And he's one of those middle linebackers that's worth the price of the ticket.
He is Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Brad, thanks for your time, and
okay,
hopefully we can talk to you soon.
Thank you.